We're in lesson 13 of our series, Field Training, learning how to work the field. And a big part of that is getting to know the lost. And we want to introduce them to Christ and introduce them to our best friend. Effectively, it's good to make friends of them as well. So if you would take, we go to Colossians and we'll read our verses one more time. Colossians chapter 4. And we'll read verses 5 and 6. And whenever you find your place, we'll stand and read. This morning, Colossians chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. Amen. Verse 5 says this. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Time is not on the side of our lost friends and family. By the way, time is not on the side of our future friends, right? The lost that we don't know yet. We need to get to know them. Why? We need to walk toward them intentionally. Why? Because time could be short. And at any moment, they can pass. Or at any moment, the rapture can take place. And so we need to redeem the time that we do have. Verse 6, here's how we do that primarily. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. We want to learn how to communicate well with the lost. And we're going to learn, we've been learning already about that. We'll review a little bit and we'll finish learning that way this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how it helped us, God, and how clear it is. And God, I thank you that you reached out to us and you intentionally walked toward us and because you loved us. And Lord, you used your people. I'm not sure. I can't understand all of the people that were involved in reaching me. I'm sure there were several that I don't even remember that at different times in my life reached out and walked toward me. And then, Lord, here I am today. And it's the same for everyone in this room, anyone who's saved, God, that there is somebody who obeyed this command to walk toward the lost and reach them. And so I pray to help us to have a burden. To do the same, to work the field, to walk toward the lost, to learn how to communicate with them. And I pray you bless us. We do that this morning. Christ in my prayer. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. And so what we've been dealing with is this idea of communication. We've talked about how important communication is. We've talked about fundamentally, just as humans, we know this intrinsically. Communication is very important. Any relationship you have, you know the foundation of that relationship is communication. And the lost know that as well. The scientists out there who don't know God even know that as well. They've studied it out. We've dealt with that. And literally, physiologically, that's it. Our bodies actually respond to communication, to connection. We were created that way to need it, to crave it. And really to enjoy it because God made us that way. He's made us relational beings. God himself being a relational being, and he created us that way. And by the way, I want to just want to remind you, this isn't the message today, but as you follow God, you're not just following a system of rules and regulations and a system of religion. When you follow God, it's supposed to be a personal relationship with him. And that's what God desires. And there are standards, there are doctrines, there are rules in a sense, but those are all in place so that we can have a better relationship with him. That's the point. And so I would remind you of that. That's why God made you. But part of that is also connecting and communicating and building and developing relationships with other people. That's part of what our church is about. That's part of why God made and established the local church. That's why he calls us sheep, because we're made to gather together. And we need to learn to communicate with each other. And we don't just show up and learn and leave. This isn't a cold, this is not a cold college course where we just show up and get the information and leave. It's a church family, isn't it? It's a family. We're a family of families. And that's because, again, God made us relational beings. And it's built into the fiber of everything that God's called us to do. And that also is the foundation of our reaching out to the lost. And you know, so many times evangelism courses or whatever trainings turn reaching the lost into some kind of process and some kind of cold step by step, you know, knock on the door, hello, I am from, and if you were to die today, what would, and you know, and here is a track, and then leave, right? And we turn it into a kind of a process that way. It's just not. It's not. And it's not a debate. We're not called to go and find a lost person and debate with them. We're called to build relationships with them. We're called to walk toward them with grace, seasoned with salt, and get to know them personally, care about them deeply, communicate with them, not just lecture. And then from that space of communication and trust and relationship, reach them. Jesus didn't go to the woman at the well and just start harping on her about her salvation. He did not. He sat with her and he listened to her and he heard her story and he talked back. Nicodemus, when he showed up, Nicodemus was looking just for information, but Jesus didn't just give Nicodemus information. He sat with him and he talked with him. And if we're going to reach the lost effectively, we need to build genuine relationships with them. And this genuine relationship building is not just, it cannot become a cold, calculated process either. And we're giving you skills and we're giving you steps in a sense, but we cannot use this to be some kind of lost saving factory. We're trying to help you connect and communicate with real people that God created in His image, that God loves, and that because of that, we love them, right? Because we love God. Yes, sir? They sure can. And we're going to talk about that today. They can tell when you're manipulating, when you're just trying to get them through the process, push them through a pipeline. They can tell that. And so we can't do that. All right. So that communication is clearly important. And so what we've done is we've given some skills to help us. Because the thing is, I think all of us know in our soul that communication is vital, but many of us, more than you would even understand and comprehend, you'd be shocked by how many people feel like they can't do it. I can't communicate well. There's introverts and there's extroverts, right? But most people at some level feel like they're bad at this. And because we are bad at this, you know, this will help you in the Christian life. Anything that God wants you to do, you pretty much stink at it. Right? Basically everything God wants you to do, you're not good at it. And there's a reason for that. It's called the sin nature. It's called the flesh. And so we need to first decide, I know I'm not good at it, but God's called me to it. And so I'm going to work on it. And I'm going to trust that God's going to help me do it. That's how we live the Christian life. If you feel like you're really good at it, there's a chance that you're not really doing it the way God says to do it. We stink at this. We need God's help. And we need His grace. And we need training. We do. Because we don't think the way we ought to with really anything God calls us to. And communication is one of those things. So what we're doing today is we're going to help you, give you some tools. But the tools are not going to mean anything to you unless you've already decided, I will become a better communicator with God's help. God wants to help me. I know He will. And so I'm going to work at this, right? I'm going to work at this. And just because God's going to do it doesn't mean you don't have to do it. That's how it works, right? God's going to do it, but you have to do it. God gave Israel the victory over and over again, but they had to go fight. And God gave the apostles the words to say, but they had to go out there and talk. You see. And God will help you with this, but you're going to have to also work at it. But as you work at it, you know this. This isn't happening without God's help. How are we doing? That's how we have to think of this. And so the skills are this. Number two, it's on page three, big number two. Skill number one, recognize what kind of conversation you were having. Do you remember that? We need to know that there are different kinds of conversations. We dealt with this last time. I'm not going to re-teach that, but there's essentially, this is kind of generalizing it a little bit, but there's essentially two different kinds of conversations. There are practical conversations, and there are personal conversations. There are conversations that the purpose of it is to decide and to come to conclusions and help. There are other conversations where you're really just talking about your day. You need empathy, right? And you just need, and you're connecting, and when we're sharing stories, those are two different conversations, and we need to be good at recognizing this, recognizing what kind of conversation the other person wants to have. Is the other person trying to communicate and decide and solve problems, or is the other person just talking about their day or doing this or that, or more of an emotional and empathetic, compassionate kind of conversation, or is this a problem-solving conversation? I will say this. I don't know if we made a big deal about this last time, but the kind of conversation can change in the course of a conversation. Okay? So, I mean, sometimes we need to talk to somebody, and sometimes we need to help them in certain ways. We have to give them, we have to help them solve the problem they're dealing with, right? But if they are wanting to talk through it and have empathy and compassion first, if they're coming at you just wanting to be heard, right? You need to be. This will help you. Do they want to be helped right now, or do they just want to be heard right now? And if they just want to be heard right now, then you just need to hear them. Don't force help down their throat. And then when they feel heard, and that's the key, when they feel heard, then maybe they're willing to shift into a more of a helping conversation. Are you following that? But we're going to have to humble ourselves. Oh, no, I know exactly what to do here. Yeah, it doesn't really matter if you know what to do here if you're not going to humble yourself and talk with them about it. Not talk at them, but talk with them. Those are different, aren't they? It's different. And so we need to humble ourselves and have the conversation that they were wanting to have first, and then if they're willing to move into the other conversation. Otherwise, we're just going to force things down their throat, and they might hear us, but they're not really listening. Or if they are listening, they're listening just so they know what not to do. Have you ever had those kind of conversations? Have you ever had somebody show up and ready to blow you out of the water, and you're ready to hear them just because you know, whatever they say, I'm not doing it? That's all. If someone comes to me and says, Pastor, this right here is messed up, and this is, I don't like how this is happening. Great. Tell me what, in my flesh, go ahead and tell me so I know what we're not doing. Is that right? No, it's not right, and I get with God about it, and then we talk through it, and if it's a good idea, we consider it. But if you come to somebody with a bad attitude and ready to criticize and tear them down, don't expect it's going to be a good conversation. Understand? And if someone's doing wrong, you don't need to blow them up first off. We need to talk with them and make sure they know we care. Because if someone is in sin, if someone is in active rebellion against God, what do you want for that person? Do you want for them just to feel bad? Or do you want to help them get out of it? Remember, Galatians 6, 1 talks about, if someone is overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. And if someone is in outright rebellion and sin with God, you still need to approach them with gentleness and meekness, considering thyself, Galatians says. Dost thou also be tempted? You're not better than this person. You don't want this person to pay. You want this person to be helped. And that'll change how you communicate with them. And you'll approach them in such a way that they hear you and you hear them and they feel like you understand them and you care about them. And when you get to that place, you're ready to help them. But if you're just interested in making them feel bad, then by all means, jump down their throat. You see it? How are we doing? Communication is very important, isn't it? And so we need to get on the same level as this person, get on the same conversation with this person. That's number one. Number two, if you go to page 5 in our lesson, number two. Communication skill number two is this. Learn to ask deep questions. So we dealt with that last time. Letter A is helpful. Again, this man, Duhigg, who did the science and the research on this, found that good communicators ask 10 to 20 times more questions than others. 10 to 20 times more questions. So first, you know, if you're just wondering, how can I be a better communicator? If you just learn to ask questions in general, that'll help you a lot. That'll help you a lot. Just ask more questions. Because when you ask questions, that communicates to them that you want to know something from them. You see? And you'll talk less about yourself, and you'll be asking more about them. Now, you'll have to be careful that those questions aren't interrogations, you know, that we're not, like, trying to... We're not asked... Sometimes we ask questions because we want gossip. So what's this? Why did you do this? Where are you at? What's this? And let's not interrogate and dig with our questions, but let's ask questions because we care. And so the foundation of all of this, that we're going to get to in a moment, is that we genuinely care about them, and we want to communicate with them. Not at them, but with them. And so you ask questions that where they will respond in such a way that you learn about who they are. Not just learn about trivia questions about them, but ask questions where they will tell you something about who they are, something about their values, something about their beliefs, something about their experiences. And you'll learn, you want to know them. Not just about them, but you want to know them. There's a difference. Do you sense the difference there between those? Knowing about them, some things, and knowing them. Okay? So that's important. Deep questions. And we'll just read letter C and then we'll move on. The idea is that you genuinely want to learn more about who they are as a person. Very important. Number four. Communication skill number three is this. Ready? Prove that you are listening. Prove that you are listening. So letter A. There's a part of all of us that is suspicious if someone else is actually listening to us or if they're just waiting for their turn to speak. That's the blank. Isn't that true? We're suspicious. And you know, we can learn to stop that, but there's just a fundamental thing about us where we're wondering if they actually care what I'm saying or if they just want to get what they want across. We feel that way. And if you feel that way, you need to know that the other person feels that way. And so what we need to do then is prove that we're actually listening. And we all know that, and so usually we do something like this. We nod, you know, if someone's talking, and we nod, sometimes like a lot, sometimes in the wrong times, because we know that we want them to think we're listening. Even if we're not listening, we want them to think we are, and we nod. Or we say things like, sure, or okay, or right, as they're talking. And those aren't bad, but that's kind of the things we do. But we all know this too. Those can be easily faked, right? Someone can say right or nod or say sure or say okay, and you know that doesn't prove for sure that they're actually listening to me, because we can just throw those in. And sometimes we do it just without thinking, right? We just say right, okay, and sure. And so the best time to prove that you're actually listening to them is what you say after that person stops talking. What you say after the person stops talking. Have you ever been in a conversation where you said something and then they say something totally off topic? And what do you automatically think? They didn't hear anything I just said, right? And so the way you respond after they talk is going to be big. And so remember that part. In fact, for some people, when they're talking, it's best not to say sure, right, not because they've trained themselves to think, if you're saying that, I know you're not listening, right? So sometimes it's best just to look at them and listen, And what's going to matter is what happens after they're done. Were you listening or not? Pop quiz time, right? And they're waiting, and we're all like this. We're waiting to see. Did they hear me or did they not hear me? So here's a helpful method with that, all right? It's called this, looping for understanding. Looping for understanding. So step one is this. Listen intently to what someone else has to say. Now, sometimes someone will show up and they have something already to say. And when that happens, be quiet, listen, all right? But sometimes someone doesn't like to talk. We have that too, right? And that's when we learn to ask deep questions, good questions, to where they will begin to talk about, hopefully, something about who they are so we can communicate, so we can learn about each other, all right? And when they're talking, you listen intently. Don't be thinking about lunch. Be thinking about coffee. That's my problem. Be thinking only about what they're saying. Listen. Step two. Once they have finished talking, repeat. Right? Probably heard this before. Repeat back what you heard them say, but in their own words. Now, it's important you don't just say it back to them. That's awkward and weird. You're not playing a copycat game, all right? But you say something like, what I heard you just say is this or that, right? Don't just mimic what they say, but say it in your own words. And so that you actually heard them and that you've actually processed what they say. So if someone is talking to you, and then you respond and say something like, what I heard you say is, and then you say what they said in your own words, they cannot deny this. You are listening and you are processing it. You can't fake that part, can you? If you just repeat what they said mindlessly, you can fake that. But if you repeat back to them, I just want to make sure I'm right. I heard you say this. Then they know you are listening, right? It's very, very helpful. You want to prove to them. Now, you know, I want to say this. We don't have to do this with every conversation we ever have. Okay? We don't always want a deep communication type conversation, all right? But this is when you want to truly get to know someone, really listen to them, really have a conversation. Sometimes we just show up to Starbucks and say, give me a grande Americano, okay? Sometimes that's all you need to say. Or sometimes, really, truly, you're walking on the street and you say, hey, hope you're having a good day. Or we don't have to stop and pull them aside. They're like, hey, we're going to have a conversation here. But when you want to truly get to know somebody, this is how you can do it, all right? All right. So you can't fake that part. It's impossible, and they know it's impossible, okay? Even if right now they're thinking, they're just trying to manipulate me, they have their own agenda, what they cannot say is you didn't hear them, okay? Very important. And so again, something like, what I heard you say is, that's a great way to do it. What I heard you say is, when you say it. Step three. This is where we all often forget, okay? Ask if you got it right. Okay, so step one, you listen to what they said, they're talking. Step two, you say, what I heard you say is, and you tell it back to them. And it's very important that you ask if you got it right. We forget that a lot. We think, we've done it, I've done my job, I repeated it back to them. But listen, we don't always have it right. The other great thing about this is that you do need to actually hear them out. And sometimes we hear somebody and we think we know what they said, and we're ready to respond, but we don't really understand what they said. And now when we respond, we're going to respond to something they didn't say. And that is not good, right? We've all been on the receiving end of those conversations. Where you say something, and they say, I know what you mean by that. Let me respond. Well, no, that's not actually what I meant at all, okay? And so we don't always understand what someone else said. We might not have caught every word. There's just part of communication, you know, listen, communication is very difficult because here's what we have to do. We have to have something in our minds that we're thinking about, and then we have to come up with words to express what we're thinking about. And then with our mouths, we have to say those words. And then they have to hear those words, right, and catch every one of them. And then they take those words and they interpret it and then they have what they think you said. And there's a lot of potential for miscommunication there, isn't there? Lots of potential for that. And so it's very important that you make sure that you really know what they said. And we are good at already knowing what they said before they said it. And you need to stop doing that. You need to listen to them. Oh, I know who they are. No, you really don't know who they are. The Bible is very clear that the only one who knows who they are is God and them. No one knows the heart of a man except for that man and God. So just get over that. And I'm a great judge of character. No, you're not. Okay, let me just tell you. No, you're not. Nobody is. We have to listen to them intently and actually hear them out. You understand? So we have to be humble that way and listen and make sure that we are hearing what they're actually saying. All right. So, again, we might not have caught every word. There might be something they said that we didn't understand properly. Okay, there's that. And there's this too. They might have come off differently than what they wanted to come off. Right? Maybe they're just not good at communicating. We've been there. Have you ever wanted to tell somebody something and it didn't come off the way you wanted it to come off? Well, let's give them that benefit. Right? And make sure that we're hearing them. Make sure we're hearing them. And so all of this helps us to clarify, did we really understand what they were saying? So there's that. And then if you did get it right, so you say, they said something, and you say, what I heard you say is this. And then if you got it right, then they know that you were listening. They know that. You proved it. And here's the biggest key of all of this. They know you understand them. And the goal of a conversation for you, your side, your goal is to make sure they know that you understand them. That's key. It takes a lot of humility, though. Even if they never understand you, your primary goal out of this is to make sure you understand them. And so, number four, most importantly, you have proved that you're actually listening, you're interested in what they're saying, and not just hearing, not just them, let's just say them with the M, not just them hearing what you're saying. Letter C. So the point is this, we need to make sure that they know we're actually listening to them. It doesn't matter if you are actually listening to them, or it does. That's not enough. Yeah. You need to actually listen to them, but you need to prove it to them. Okay? And you might say, well, they're just not listening to me. Well, you need to prove to them. If you want to connect with this person, if you want to truly help this person, you're going to have to make sure that they know you understand them. And this process here, it takes care of all of that, right? It takes care of all of that. You prove to them that you're listening, and you can't fake it. Number one or that, there's something about us that when we believe someone is truly, deeply listening to us, we are more likely to listen to them. Isn't that true? If you're in a conversation and you feel like they're not hearing you, you're less interested in hearing them. And so, in a roundabout way, if you humble yourself and make sure you truly understand them, then now you're in a position where they will listen to you. But most conversations are two people who only want to be heard. And that's a problem. And they think they have everything figured out. They think they know exactly where this conversation is going and what they need to say. And you just need to be quiet and listen to them. No, that's not going to work, is it? It's not going to work. We need to humble ourselves, both of us. And both of us need to learn to listen to each other first. Make sense? Very, very important. Because if we don't feel like they genuinely are listening to us, it's harder to listen to them. Number five, we'll be done. Communication skill number four is this: be genuinely curious. This is really the key. I really should have started with this. But be genuinely curious in others. And remember, these skills that we learned about over these few weeks are not meant as a manipulation tactic so that they'll actually listen to us when we give them the gospel. We're not just trying to get notches in our belt of people we've led to the Lord. We love them, right? When we say we love the lost, we don't just love people getting saved. We love the lost. Them. The people. Personally. Love them. And when you love somebody, you listen to them. And you want to understand them. And you become interested in them. Problem is, sometimes we do that, we just don't know how. That's what these are for, okay? Don't get the cart before the horse, though. Letter B. None of this works unless you genuinely care about this person. Again, Brother Tim said it. They know it when you're manipulated. They know it. And even if they don't know it, let's not do that. Let's love them genuinely. Letter C. We're not just trying to meet our quota of people who led to the Lord. We are reaching real people. And we need to learn to genuinely want to know them and develop relationships with them. We need that. You know, we're done, so I've read different outreach books, giving processes, how to talk to people. And oftentimes you'll read this. You know, when you're soul winning, you know, this is what they call it. I actually don't care for that term, but when you're reaching the lost, if they get off track, like you're trying to give them the gospel, and they start talking about things like their childhood or something, do your best to get them back on topic. Don't do that. If they're going to start telling you something about who they are and what's going on in their mind, you want to know them. If they're trying to tell you something, take that. Humble yourself and listen to them. And then they'll know that you actually care about them and not just getting them the gospel. And that sounds weird, but we're not just interested in just giving people the gospel. We love people. And because we love people, we want to get them the gospel. And the best way to do that is when they know you actually care about them. Make sense? And so if you ever read that, cross it out, okay? If someone is opening up to you, you listen to them. This is a long game. You don't have to cram the gospel down their throat. You get to know them, and then from that place of genuine relationship, you can then get the gospel to them. Okay. And so these skills, obviously, they would work in a lot of different situations. They would work in a relationship you already have and help you to develop a deeper relationship with him. If it's maybe a surface level thing, you just enjoy each other's company or whatever, there's a place where you need to begin to get to know them as a person and really help them open up so that you can get the gospel to them. These will help with people you don't know at all. You're trying to get to know them, all right? And so we need to develop relationships. We need to start gospel relationships. We need to develop gospel relationships that we already have, develop them, and then we need to get the gospel to them. And so I hope you have those five, right? I hope you have those five people on your list. Either people you already know well, you need to get the gospel, someone you know on a surface level, you want to get to know them better, and someone you just have no idea who they are. You just have a burden, all right? And these skills will help with that. Next time, here's what we're going to do, here's the next step. When you know somebody well and you've communicated with them and they know you care about them because you actually do and you've proven it to them and you have that deep relationship, we do need to at some point transition and get them the gospel. That is the point, right, in the end. Because that's what they, not just because we're a gospel factory, but because we love them. And if you genuinely love somebody, you know what they need most is the gospel. And so the big, huge problem is, how do I get it to them, right? How do I actually get them the gospel? And I told you we had those Bible studies, and I'm doing my very best to get those prepared and ready. But next lesson will be how to transition into that. How to get somebody, how to help somebody be ready to listen to the gospel. How to introduce them, right? How to introduce them to God. And there's some very specific ways that you can do that, right? And they're not the only ways, but if you don't have any idea, we'll give you some tools for that, all right? And by the end of that, you won't have any excuses, right? All right? And you'll be equipped. So take these, do your best to implement these things. Learn to care about people. Learn to care about people. And learn to listen to them. And you'd be shocked by how much a communicator you can be, if that's your goal. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for reaching out and coming to us. And Lord, help us to love people the way you do. Help us to genuinely love them personally and care for them personally, and then prove that we care about them. Learn to communicate, learn to connect, learn to develop relationships with them. Help us do with wisdom, God, again, as we started off this lesson weeks ago. Help us to remember that we're still Christians. And God, we don't want to be like the world, to reach the world, but we do need to be among them. We do need to reach them. We do need to show them the way. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us. And I pray that you would continue to equip. And the Holy Spirit would take these truths and empower us to reach the lost. Pray for the services to come, that you be honored by all that we do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.